George Capanelli here. Welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people, passion, and purpose meet.
And I'm Alan Huttner. We're your hosts at the place where boomers, elders, and conscious members of younger generations come to listen, learn, and participate in a lifestyle revolution. Join us for in-depth interviews with world-class experts and authors, provocative commentaries, humorous and informative special features interspersed with music.
Our topic, whose beliefs are you living? We're going to look at the fundamental truth that many of us lead our lives based on beliefs, and many of the beliefs we base our lives on don't originate with us. As if this wasn't already challenging enough, even the beliefs we adopt, we rarely revisit, recalibrate, and reevaluate depending on the stage of life we're in, the people we are living with, and the consequences these beliefs have on the quality of our lives and the dreams we've come here to manifest. Today, we'll also hear the next part of a terrific conversation Alan had with wise man and author Thomas More in his new book, A Religion of One's Own.
And as we mentioned, the music interludes today include Ella Fitzgerald. It's a sampler. Pick yourself up into each life, some rain must fall, and dream. As well, you'll hear AO music for my Rudy Rap bed today. Our special features, George and I will bring you another You've Got to Be Kidding segment. Sedina will share another valuable and live and aging strategy. And as I said, I'll close with the rap, Rudy Rap, titled Love Is, Love Is.
So welcome to Age Nation Radio Magazine, where people come to celebrate living consciously and aging wisely in the 21st century.
Impossible, I have found. For when my chin is on the ground, I pick myself up, dust myself off, start all over again.
Ah, that sweet voice of Ella Fitzgerald.
Anyway, we all need to start over again here.
Ain't that the truth? Ain't it the truth? So, where is yourself found? Always in the deepest enchantment you experience. This quote from Hugo van Hofmeister leads us into our topic today. Whose beliefs are you living? So let's look at this question first by asking another. Have you ever actually stopped to ask yourself where the beliefs you are basing your life come from? You know, where do they originate? Most of us don't, of course. Most of us go through the majority, if not all, of our lives simply following these beliefs as if they were encoded in our DNA, in the same way some believe that the original Ten Commandments were etched in fire on tablets that were given to Moses during his time in the wilderness. We contend that this blind adherence to our beliefs, beliefs that were for the most part given to us by others who we depended upon for almost everything when we were very young, is not a great practice, not for the entirety of our lives, particularly not if we wish to make peace with our lives, harvest the wisdom and experience that we've had to date so we can invest this goal in the present and chart a truly constructive course for the future.
So that's what we invite you to do today and often as you go forward in your life. We invite you to take a look at some of the beliefs you're currently holding, especially some of your beliefs about aging, about the options and possibilities this time of life holds for you, about the fears and worries, about your victories and celebrations, and even some of your confusions and regrets, right to the surface. In short, we invite you to look at some of the beliefs you hold that have shaped your life, at least to date. Consider from who and where they came, and know that if they are left unexamined and unchanged, They will most certainly shape and perhaps limit your life in the years ahead.
In other programs, we've explored the fact that Carl Jung, one of the fathers of psychology, took great pains to point out that believing is very different than knowing. He suggested that beliefs most often depend on what other people say, think, or claim to have experienced. In short, beliefs rest primarily on the opinions held by others and, in a number of cases, a majority of others who make up our world. Alan Watts, author and spiritual teacher, had this to say on the subject. Beliefs are what we wish to or think ought to be true. And although he did not say it, he could just as easily have continued to say, but that unfortunately are not true or verified.
Knowing, by comparison, is based on one's own personal experience. And while it is true that our experience can sometimes be the result of faulty assumptions or limited beliefs, in the end, our opinion, at least, there in our opinion, there is a form of knowing that aligns with that inner yardstick that each of us possesses, a yardstick that is far more accurate and consequential than someone else's beliefs. And consider that sometimes it is better to just admit, I do not know, far better than clinging to a belief that is limiting. Knowing then may come into the emptiness, sometimes from an intuitive flash or insight that may or may not be immediately verifiable to others or traceable to something that has happened in our lifetime. Look for absolute or at least relative truth, but ask, does it have certainty and undeniability to it? Finally, there's a form of knowing that sometimes manifests at first in the form of a flight of fantasy or imagination. For example, it is said that as a boy, Albert Einstein dreamt of riding a beam of light through space. Later, when his skill in mathematics allowed him to do so, he verified the dream through the theory of relativity.
Although knowing is so much more powerful than believing in this age of philosophical materialism, when science and technology and what is called reason are worshipped as the primary means of determining what's real and what is not, beliefs shape almost all of our experience. This is, of course, not a new path for humanity. We're full of examples in history. At one point, the prevailing belief was that the world was flat. Earlier, many people believed the Earth was the center of the universe and the sun and the stars revolved around it. When one understands the influence the information age now has on our all-too-human tendency to build our world on beliefs rather than on direct experience, then our contention that unfounded beliefs shape the modern world becomes much more plausible.
And in this information age, when media trumpets the same message and perspectives over and over as if repetition will somehow determine truth, no, it will groove your brain. Mm-hmm. It unfortunately becomes real to you, or so you think it is. Consider it a form of mind control. We say, unfortunately, because from our perspective, our world would be much richer, truer, and more balanced and aligned with nature and with rhythms and harmonies of the universe if each of us only used our beliefs like crutches, temporarily supporting us on the road leading to direct experience and actual knowing. Instead, in our world, beliefs, like fool's gold, they're often accepted as justifiable substitutes for knowing, and as a result, we all become the poorer for it.
So the other thing you want to remember about beliefs is that they require the participation of others to interpret and translate. And many of the people who interpret and translate have the same frailties and questions that we do, you know. So we invite you to explore this difference between believing and knowing in your daily life. We invite you to question, where did my beliefs come from? It'll be a valuable thing to do.
Be grateful for a pleasant trip and pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again. Work like a soul inspired till the battle of the day is won. You may be sick and tired, but you'll be a man, my son. Will you remember the famous men who had to fall to rise again? So take a deep breath, pick yourself up, dust yourself off, start all over again.
Come back to the revolution, Age Nation Radio.
We have returned. We're in a multiple-part serialized conversation with best-selling author Thomas Moore, celebrating the release of A Religion of One's Own in paperback. Again, I mentioned earlier giving it our endorsement here. I think it's a wonderful book, for everybody, but also it's good for people who have been in some way disappointed with the religion in terms of whatever they wanted to get from their particular path in their particular religion and their culture and the way they were changed. So given that, you say this, Thomas, I don't want to convert anybody to my way, and I don't want followers. Yes, if you want to learn more about what I've discovered, you can study with me, but my hope is that you will create a religion of your own, of course, the title of the book. I'd reverse the missionary urge. Instead of converting others, I'd like to help them find their own path. I would agree with that. There's no other way that I know. Me walking away from a bar mitzvah at 13 saying there's something wrong with the picture, I tried. We must walk our own solitary path to some degree, and also in relationship with people, that makes it easier. Within and without of an individuated soul perspective, until we get back to a perception of unity or the perfection of all that is. And you spoke earlier about great mystery. So, give us a little more of your advocacy that it is a soul path, but that we can still align in a unified way. In fact, we need to understand what unity is in the divine all that is. So individuated souls coming together.
I think we've had a mistaken notion for a long time. It's not been very subtle, that in order to be together, to have community, that you have to have people together in one physical place who think alike and use the same language and all agree to the same basic principles. I think that's being questioned now, and I think it's a mistake to continue in that direction, because you can have a better community if you have a group of people who think for themselves and who can express different angles and points of view, but all sincerely trying to find their way. So I think that's what happens when people start working on a religion of their own. Instead of being in a collective where everyone thinks alike, they can now be in a community where you're really eager to hear what the other people are experiencing and thinking about. Because in that sharing of individual experiences, you end up with a much tighter community, a more interesting, more lively sense of community. It's a difference between a community and a collective, I guess. Because in a real community, you have individuals. You don't have people who all think alike. We're moving in that direction. Personally, I feel that. I'm no longer part of a community where people come, think alike, and go to the same building. But the community I'm part of is worldwide, and I think our contemporary communications technology help that. So to be on, use Skype or to use email and that sort, Facebook, that sort of thing, we can actually really, really create community worldwide and be in touch with people regularly. Of course, it's wonderful to be in each other's presence when we can. On the other hand, this is also a way of creating community of real individuals. I prefer that myself.
Yeah, no, very well said. I mean, I lived in spiritual community after a 12-year career in a pharmaceutical company, schooled in the money power universe as an employee for 12 years. Then I moved into spiritual community, and it was ecumenical, although it may have been qualified as a religious organization or spiritual organizations under the Internal Revenue Service nonprofit rules, but it was not a church as such. So taking that to another level of community, this is what you say. I'm going to quote you, Thomas. Under the section Spiritual Creativity, this new kind of religion asks that you move away from being a follower to being a creator. I foresee a new kind of spiritual creativity in which we no longer decide whether to believe in a given creed and follow a certain tradition blindly. Now we allow ourselves a healthy and even pious skepticism. Most important, we no longer feel pressure to choose one tradition over another, but rather are able to appreciate many routes to spiritual richness. This new religion is a blend of individuated or individual inspiration and inspiring tradition. New creations coming out of new communities, coming out of our own personal journey. And I love this word, spiritual creativity. And like I said, after a corporate career, I was in an ashram or spiritual community for 6 years. And my son's the CEO now. He's followed some of my footsteps. But they are ecumenical. And they now, because the spiritual teacher or guru of the time has passed away a few years ago, they are now self-governing in a sacred hoop like some of the Native Americans or indigenous people do, council. So let me throw that one to you for discussion.
I would like to see the similar thing with other traditions. My own tradition of Catholicism, which I love in many ways. It has many, many problems, as all religions do, but it has a great deal of beauty and wisdom at the same time. I would like to see more of individual local communities who are Catholic and less allegiance to some central authority. I think that way, I understand that we need the tradition to guide us, but we can do that without having to surrender too much of our own creativity and our own power. And there have been so many abuses of power when we surrender it. So I think today we're really entering a different time period. We have to think differently. And it's not easy to do this because of our habits of thought. But if we could imagine that those traditions are out there, whether it's Buddhism or Sufism or Christianity, whatever it is, those traditions are out there to guide us in our own way and in our own direction, that we embody them in our own way. We're not like anybody else doing it. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm a Catholic like nobody else is. That's different from where we've come from. And I think that we now not only have the opportunity to do this, but we better do it, or religion's going to become something for the museums.
Yeah. There's a piece here where you talk about a sacred milieu, and you quote spiritual visionary Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. The last line is to quote him, is, "We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience." And now, that particular cliche or quote, I never really attributed it to Chardin, and I've heard it, many people speak it, but it's profound when you think about, well, who are we, Thomas? I mean, and maybe we cover this, then we'll take another break. I have a fun thing I want to do with you, the two-minute drill. But the essential journey of discovery, as some of the saints and masters of the East have said, is about answering the question, who am I? And when you add the third word or the fourth word of an adjective to describe yourself, you're in dangerous territory of identifying with something that is impermanent. And aren't we heading to understand who we are as the eternal beings of souls, even from one lifetime to another? So what would you say to that?
I think the question is changing. At least it is for me. It's not a question of who am I, because I know I'll never know who I am. I don't know even what that means. And the I word bothers me in that case. So I'm more interested in what stuff I'm made of. What is the stuff? That's Jung called that the alchemical question. You know, what is that stuff? Like, I'm made up of my childhood. I happened to be brought up in an Irish Catholic family with a mother who was very conservative in her religion, but wonderful, and my father was very liberal. And that's my stuff. That's very big. And then I went into his monastic life, and all that is my stuff. But who am I in all that? I mean, that's impossible. And to me, it's a bit of a waste of time to ask. I just want to keep responding and feeling okay with my life as it goes. But I want to have less focus on I. Even with a good question like, who am I? I'd rather say, what shall I do today? Yeah. What can I do to be creative, to be closer to people around me, to reconnect with old friends? What am I going to do with my as I get older?
Yeah.
These are the questions I want to ask, and I don't have the luxury to ask, who am I?
Okay, I like that. We'll take another break. All right.
We're back.
Let's
have our...
It's a state of mind.
Sorry about that. Stepping on our lady there. All right. Well, it is Age Nation Radio.
It is indeed, and we are glad to be back, and it was... another really great conversation, highly appropriate for our theme today about, you know, whose beliefs are you living? And, you know, when you and Thomas were talking, it's just, you know, the kind of religion that has existed in various times throughout history is one that falls into that category we talked about earlier, where it requires an interpreter and someone to translate for you rather than a direct experience. And the kind of religion that you and Thomas were talking about and that Thomas talks about in his book, A Religion of One's Own, is one in which we set aside the interpreter, or we only use them as a guidepost or a sign pointing in a direction, and then we work on verifying our own experience.
Yes. Those intermediaries, in the case of Catholicism, let's just say priests, all men usually, are the crutch in a good way. It's a bridge. Catholicism, as he talked about, because he's obviously, Thomas is still very enamored with some of the roots of the teaching.
And, of course.
You know, he didn't talk about them. But if you look at the actual definition, what Catholicism was based on, it's universal. It was intended as a religion to include universal commentary. And, you know, this idea of I won't get into a debate over what the essential question is. I liked his too. You know, who am I? And he rather would say, what am I made of?
Yeah.
The stuff of his past. Well, you know, if you can navigate through all the stuff to understand all the beliefs that you've been indoctrinated and programmed with, to wake up and see that that's just covering what's left. I think it's the eye without an adjective, but, you know, we're entitled to see it differently. It's all language, and the Tao Te Ching says you can't speak it anyway. So I love what he said, because I think you need to do the stuff too.
Well, not only that, but I think the essential question is, no matter who I am, no matter what my stuff is, I have this moment.
Yeah.
And the question is, what do I do in this moment? How do I live? What do I express? What do I understand? What do I share? What do I give? And there's the consequence. And so I think a lot of the other stuff puts us in our head and takes us out of the moment. But when we live fully, you and I are sitting here, we're looking at one another. This is all we have.
Yeah.
No matter what the stuff is, no matter how we've ever defined ourselves, and most important, no matter what we've ever believed, Alan, it's what you and I do in this moment with each other that is so consequential.
So this is just my little formula, okay? Underneath all the beliefs, what's the direct knowing, and what's the commonality of a field? And I'm getting to love is all.
Yeah.
I mean, really, that unified field, I'm not talking necessarily romantic, sexual, various forms of love, but we are part of a whole that is interdependent, and we need each other to go to common ground.
I agree.
All right.
Let's see what Ella has to say about this.
Listen to my tale of woe. It's terribly sad but true. All dressed up, no place to go. Each evening I'm awfully blue. I must win some handsome guy. Can't go on like this.
A set of beliefs, right?
Right, a handsome guy.
Yeah. Beautiful woman, whatever it happens to be.
They're falling away quickly for us, I know that. Not that we don't like beautiful women or handsome guys, but that's the peripheral veneer, you know.
So let's look at, you got to be kidding. You know, every week we look at different things, absurd and unusual and sometimes very uplifting in the news. Today we're going to look at some absurd items. Report shows that chemicals used as synthetic flame retardants most of which are found in common household items, and especially in our furniture, couches, carpet padding, and electronics, etc., are found to cause metabolic and liver problems that lead to insulin resistance and also to obesity, you know. So another instance of some place where we're intent on improving the quality of life and sometimes the steps that we take aren't tested enough, aren't looked at enough, and we end up with some problems. You know?
It's part of the corporatocracy. It's about the profits of those ingredients, you know. As I understand it, George, we have entered another period of government shutdown. The full extent of the fallout isn't clear yet, but if this is true, there's problems for people. Second time in 2 years, 40,000 active duty Coast Guard members will be forced to report to work without pay. TSA and Border Patrol agents would also be forced to work without pay, and tens of thousands of headquarters staff would face furloughs. I don't know where it stands in this moment, but using active duty and retired Coast Guard members as political pawns in the argument should remind you of Tea Party efforts last year to hold veterans' health care, education, and job training over the extreme right-wing desire to drive America to war with Iran. Just BS.
You know, so on the upside of things, you know, there is a governor at the moment who's actually a Republican, and his name is Mark Dillon. He's in Minnesota.
Dillon or Dayton?
Dayton. Sorry. Thanks.
Yeah.
So he decided to push aside the old nonsense about, you know, you can't increase taxes on the rich without killing jobs. When he took office in 2011, Minnesota was really in trouble. And since that time, he's done some really remarkable things. He's shown that there isn't this negative trickle up or down effect, that actually Minnesota is doing really well as a result of raising taxes and increasing minimum wage and all kinds of things, guaranteeing equal pay for women. Great stuff.
Good model, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
And this is a little extreme. Extreme weather, climate change. There's research to look at the ecological basis for infectious diseases to spread to new places and new hosts. That from Philosophical Transactions of the Royal Society of two prominent zoologists at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and also Eric Hoberg of the U.S. National Parasite Collection. Anyway, we know these global warming trends are going to create different things. Warmer means growth. What's going to grow? How's it going to affect us? And particularly if we have to breathe in all the toxins from the industrial age and our immune system is compromised, we got problems, you know.
Yeah, so that's really, you know, what it's about is let's wake up, let's pay attention, let's be sure we understand what some implications are.
I just want to give a headline here. Yeah. This is the real story. It's on the – I get the Nation magazine. I really like it. I think it's just good writing. It's progressive. The banner across the front page is Congress, Inc. Corporate officials and lobbyists have seized control of legislative power. This we know to be true, and those effluents, those chemicals, those toxic materials that are compromising our health are all the result of corporate power and influence.
Yeah.
And most of it.
And it's, you know, it's because we've lost our system of checks and balances, and as a result, if we want to come back to sanity, it would do us an awful lot of good.
Yeah, like the Minnesota governor.
Yeah.
More checks and more checks to the middle class.
Yeah.
Let's
hear a little bit more of Into Each Life, A Little Rain Must Fall.
With somebody just like you, so oh sweet and lovely, maybe be good. Oh, lady, be good to me.
Nation Radio. Love, laugh, enjoy life.
George and Alan here. We're ready for another Enlivened Aging segment.
Hi, I'm Sedina with Enlivened Aging Strategies. These are simple yet powerful tools to support you in creating greater clarity, balance, inner peace, and rejuvenation for your body, mind, and spirit. Today's Enlivened Aging Strategy is clearing space. As a whole system of energy, we have the same environmental needs for our human system as any other space. So it follows that we can use the ancient art of energy enhancement known as feng shui to be caregivers of our own energy, creating beauty, harmony, brightness, and flow within our personal human environment. The Chinese writer Lin Yutang says that besides the noble art of getting things done, there's a noble art of leaving things undone. He says, the wisdom of life consists in the elimination of non-essentials. Especially as we get older, it's wise to learn to do less, to simplify, to clear out the old, and go within for clarity and balanced power. This opens us to receive our good. We can accomplish more and lighten our energy load of these non-essentials so we have more energy for the present moment. We accumulate lots of non-essentials by the time we are adults. By the age of 7, we've heard over 900 no's to every yes. And this continues inside our heads. Some of these no's are still recycling in our system. So one of the ways to eliminate these no's is to identify them along with other limiting beliefs and behaviors. Just awareness. Negative thoughts and limiting beliefs deplete our energy. It's like walking into an overly full closet that is confusing and overwhelming. We don't need all these non-essentials. And we all know what happens as we ignore the piles and overflowing clutter in our lives. They subtly drain our passion, our energy, and effectiveness. Whatever is taking up space inside will limit us emotionally, and that also goes for those things left incomplete on the outside. So just by making a decision to complete something that has been left dragging in your consciousness can free you and free your energy positively and impact your self-esteem. Acceptance can help you to release the old and make room for the new. So be aware, decide to clear, and then take positive action. You have time now to celebrate the silence, meditate, relax, have fun, and envision your best life. So remember to include clearing space in your Enlivened Aging backpack and go to Enlivened Aging, that's AGE.ing.com for more. Many blessings.
Get in touch with that sundown fellow as he tiptoes across the sand. He's got a million kinds of stardust. Pick your favorite brand and dream when you're
all right.
Dream.
That's the message. Well, you know, there are some who say, George, that this is the dream we're in and that the reality is yet to be found, as the theme goes, from dropping your beliefs and come to knowing. And we'll do more around that next week. We'll have a deeper look at things that support you in living a life you were born to live. The first part of an interview George and Sedina did with best-selling author and expert on intuition, Sonia Choquette, or Choquette, depending on how you like to pronounce it.
We also invite you to go to agenation.com. A lot of great new stuff. Click on the new slides, or in the right-hand column, there's a great list of events. There's a free global Elder Core Wisdom Summit, 15 days, 30 extraordinary authors coming up April 2 through 16. Sedina and I will be at Mile High Church in Denver on April 10 and 11 for a Do Not Go Quietly wonderful weekend. Navigating Your Future Conference Series, May through November in Seattle. And next weekend, March 14 and 15, we'll be in Tucson at the Tucson Book Festival, and we hope to see you there.
Okay.
And now, here's Rudy, what's the name of your rap today?
Okay, the Rudy rap today is titled Love Is, Love Is. And the bed, the music, is from AO Music, and it's called Iri Gra Medley. And let me start with that. Love is, love is. Everything. It's the divine fizz, beyond belief, beyond hers and his. It's not just the romance that sets your hormones adiz. It's the only oasis in the desert of duality. Take that to your soul bank of core reality. Of course, there is multidimensionality. Understand, belief creations are infinite. This and that, tit for tat, seeking revenge for a minor spat. Do I wear a white or black hat? Where am I at? Love is, love is. It's the only bankruptcy-proof biz. It comes from a source you can never divorce. The source, your vital life force. The ultimate guide to guide your course. Intend now to get out of confusion, get out of illusion. Without love as your guide, you're cruising for a bruising. Consider this mantra. Love is my only biz to end the diz. A false identification. You are not just your mind or body. Forget trust of your ego. It's fickle and shoddy. Ego may be a temporary place to rest, creating some illusion of a safety nest in the separation mess. Me versus you. Cock-a-doodle-doo. So really, who are you in this grand cosmic zoo we call life? Find the answer and you'll find your core self, capital S self. Then you can put your glorified ego on the retirement shelf. Yes, fire that little S self. Love will then show, and you will know what to surrender to and trust. You know the mantra on U.S. currency, in God we trust? Somebody had one right. Even though with money, the result is sometimes funny. As we worship that God, belief in the almighty dollar makes love want to holler. I'm your real abundance. I'm your energy bank. Forget the peso, yen, and dinar. It will just keep you on the crank, the grind, until you fry your mind in fear so near. Hey, friend, time to begin again. You want the deep truth? You're part of Creator Source, a creation station for love manifestation, intended as a device for divine communication, to not create separation, but to unify a soul-based nation. Give up ego judgments. Return to forgiveness and innocence. For no matter what you think, that's the doorway to link you back to Source. Forgiveness and innocence are born of love. Love does source all. And here's the deep beauty. Love has infinite expressions. God, G-O-D, three letters that created we, created the universe, G-O-D, indefinable, omnipotent, omnipresent, and perhaps most important, omniscient, having infinite awareness, understanding and insight, simply stated another way. It's universal intelligence that all that is big mind. So end your little self-bind, forgive and be kind, leave fear and separation behind to ultimately find love is, the only oasis in the desert of duality. Love is beyond belief. What relief! It is the core of reality. It animates the totality from which you were created. Amen. Aho. It's love. A go go.
best is yet to come. Age Nation Radio.